Welcome to Fellowship. It is December the 15th, 2016, and tonight Jason's going to share what's in his heart.
Jason.
Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, Father God, and thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. And God bless you all who are listening, in the mighty name of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Right, so last week at Fellowship, no, it was a few weeks back at Fellowship, sorry, Lawrence mentioned a book to us called The Dream Giver, written by Bruce Wilkinson. Many years ago, I think, and he'd had a copy years ago. He'd heard about it from another minister, and he mentioned it to us guys, and Becky Janice went online, ordered a few copies of it, and so we all got a copy each of it. And it got us thinking about dreams, and I thought to myself, have I got a dream? And this Bruce in the book writes in there that he believes everybody has a dream and that God gives everybody a dream. Some people discover that dream, some people don't, kind of thing. I picked up the book and I read a couple of chapters, but I didn't have much time on my hands to be able to get into it until last night, and God inspired my heart to just pick it up and start reading. I fell asleep after half an hour because I was tired from work. But then I woke up again and I just resumed. And I read through, I think it was 11 chapters or 12 chapters. There's two parts of the book. I read all the way through part one. Part two I'm excited to look at. I think that's where he talks you through the thing yourself. Part one is the parable of the dream giver. And it describes a man called Ordinary, who is a nobody from the land of familiar. He loves his comfort zones, everything's the same routine every day, this, that and the other. And yeah, we can all think of many people that have that kind of life. And I thought to myself, well, I don't really. Sometimes I guess I have something like that and sometimes not. So I didn't really know if I had a dream, though, and I was asking God, have I got a dream? Did I have a dream when I was a child? Have I got a dream now? I mean, and you know, even as believers, we can get hazy sometimes. We know what we're aiming for. We know what God wants us aiming for. It's for His glory, but it's for our benefit and the benefit of many other people as well. This is the whole point of the Word of God. It's not just to have the Word of God. It's so that we can share with other people so that they can have the same. And it's so we can impact the whole world with it. Well, basically, so this guy called Ordinary had a dream. He woke up, saw a white feather on his windowsill, and wondered what it was all about. Told best friend at work, told father and all this. Father missed his dream. And as I'm reading through this book, and I'm kind of, it's funny, the way he names the different characters in the book, it's just funny. But there is a good, serious note to it. When I say serious, I mean serious in a good way, in a beneficial way. It gets you thinking yourself about your own life. And I started going to fellowships, 24, 25 years ago. And in that time, I can remember when I first came, and wow, it was just pumping through every part of me. I couldn't shut up about it to people, my own family, people on the streets outside the house, people at work, anywhere I went. I just wanted to find somebody to share with, get somebody born again, and you know, sharing the kingdom of God with people. And years later, a few things happened in my life that really knocked me down, and I didn't guard myself enough. When these attacks came, they came in flying in left, right and centre. You know, and we've all made mistakes. Every single person on the planet has made mistakes. Whatever those mistakes were is irrelevant. We've all made mistakes. Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins and our sicknesses. We know this. But sometimes you can't get past the things you did once upon a time. And in your heart and mind, you're struggling, even though you're convinced you're going for it. Are you really going for it, or are you holding back because of something from before? I was holding back because of something from before, if I'm to be completely honest about it, yes, maybe I knew I was, and maybe I didn't know. There were times I didn't know that I was. It wasn't until I started reading this book that God revealed it to me in my heart. And it was 3/4 of the way through the first part of the book that I had to stop. Tears came to my eyes. And the character Ordinary, on his way to his dream, his big dream, he'd already turned around to go back. And the dream giver, being God, said to him, "Where are you going? Why are you turning back?" He encouraged him, and the Ordinary carried on going. Then, of course, he's thinking, "Oh, I'm going to step right into this great dream." But what he didn't bargain on was the trials that lay before him, the things he had to go through to get to that dream. He had to fight to get there. We've heard that we've got to fight for our faith. Well, it's true. Whether we like that saying or not, it is the truth. I see so many people that are sat down doing nothing with their lives. People in my own family. People outside of my own family. Sat down doing nothing with their lives. I think, how can you? Don't you want to pursue after something? And they don't. They just don't. And I think, how can it not be there? For me, yes, it's tough. Sometimes being a believer is tough. It's a challenge. But it's not as tough as like being bombed. It's not as tough as having bullets flying past your head every second. Or having a tsunami wipe out your village. Having earthquakes. Having a hurricane. A strong hurricane wind just wipe your whole village out. Or an army from another country just come and shoot you all down. And you've lost all your friends. That's tough. And I think sometimes people say to me, "Oh, it's a horrible day today, isn't it? Miserable day." Is it, I say? At least we're not over there with them. No, this is a good day. And it's funny because back to the what we go through in life, yeah, sometimes we get hit very hard. And several years back, I got hit very hard. But I did some things wrong, and I knew I'd done some things wrong. At the time, I wasn't recognising it as that because my mind wasn't where it should have been. I was a casualty of war, you could say. I was a casualty, I was down, I was hit. Lawrence remembers a great guy who was a man of God, who taught the word of God at a fellowship at his house here in our own city of Bristol. I was at this guy's fellowship 5 years and he died of cancer. We prayed for him like crazy the first time he had cancer, and he got healed from it. And I remember it like it was only yesterday. We didn't know how to command the healing at the time. We didn't understand that at the time, so we just did everything we needed to do. I remember Lawrence saying he had an urge, and I had an urge also, to walk in and raise the guy back up. For me, the door was blocked. I think for Lawrence it was as well. So we never even got that chance, which I hate that, because I would have gone straight in and just done something anyway, even if it hadn't have worked. Who cares? However, that's going into the nitty-gritty details of it. Two more things that happened after that. One was a relationship split-up. The other one was arguments in the family, worse than ever before, even with my parents. And God has shown me 3 times... the same dream, 3 consecutive nights running before all this took place, and it was the most ferocious sky I'd ever seen in my life. I've never seen one like it. Like a violent storm was coming. And after the 3rd time, I said to God, "Are you showing me something? What's this about? Is something coming up?" And sure enough, then these 3 things came up, and I understood why I had those dreams then. So God knew beforehand what was going to happen. He has got foreknowledge. For anyone that doesn't think God knows what's going to happen before it happens, he does know what's going to happen before it happens. He always does. I believe we've always got a choice, but sometimes, Jesus Christ had a choice. He didn't have to be crucified. Did I have a choice? Could I have found a different way through this? I don't know. But that's rationalising things, and we shouldn't rationalise. I know over the years I felt guilt because of certain things, and really blaming myself and holding myself back from fully moving forward in areas that I should have moved forward in years ago. But the reasons I didn't was because of this, because of the things that happened back then. I didn't really fully recognize. I did recognize sometimes, and sometimes I didn't recognize fully until I read this book. And like I said, I got 3/4 of the way through the first part, and God just crashed in on me. He, reading about this guy Ordinary going through the challenges he had to go through in order to get to his promised land, his dream, took me all the way back through these years, where I stood for a number of years until these things hit me. He comes across all sorts of things, even bullies in the borderland. There were bullies in the borderland. It turned out to be his family and friends. No, you don't want to go this way. It's dangerous. It's bad for you. It's risky. You know this. What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? And I remember, my family were dead against me getting into the Word of God years ago. For years, they were dead against it. Now my mum has accepted it because she's got no choice. She's realised finally. And I've been mocked. I've been talked about behind my back and all sorts of things. I don't care because I'm here to please God, not men. And this is what Ordinary was to discover in his journey, that he is to please the dream giver. And he had to come to the realization that that's what he's supposed to be doing. And then his dream becomes reality to him. It was quite an incredible journey for me. Both reading the actual story of Ordinary was great. It was an adventure in itself, like I say. And I said to Lawrence last night, I've got a vivid imagination. I don't know why, but I'm able to picture things quite easily and place myself in a situation quite clearly. So that it's quite easy for me to appreciate a lot of things. If someone's talking to me about something, I can kind of picture it. It's pretty good. So I each step of the way through this story, I was picturing it. But then, of course, it was coming back to me. Do I have a dream? As God, you know, God may have given me a dream. Did I see that dream or didn't I see that dream? And then suddenly something came back to mind. Ordinary found himself on a battlefield fighting against giants. And these giants, basically, it's metaphorical. Yeah, there's the money giant. There's the oppression giant. There's this giant, that giant, and the other giant. And the only way to take on these giants is he's got to trust the dream giver to show him what to do. And I mean, he does it, and he fights these giants off. And in the book, it's described he's keeping this journal that he's writing things in. And a mighty one comes up to him, saying to him, "You use the truth," because the journal for him is his truth. And you use the truth, and that's how you fight them. And you remember, right? You remember the dream. You remember the dream giver. What he's taken you through so far. He'd gone through wasteland, like wilderness. No food, no drink, water's trickling out of a rock, there's fruit on a tree. He's thinking about faith turns up. He drives faith away because he's in a terrible state of mind now. God's left me, kind of thing. But then he realizes and cottons on and follows faith. It's very, very well written, this, and I think the guy was definitely inspired by God. Very clever. And it took me through the things I've gone through in my life to get me to the point, God was bringing me to the point of realizing you shouldn't be beating yourself up. And the guy that died years ago, it was when Ordinary was on this battlefield against these giants and he saw another dreamer, they're called dreamers, he's called a dreamer now, and this dreamer fell. Was down, basically. She was down, and he went up to her to help her, and she could barely talk. She was dying. She knew she was dying. And they had a conversation briefly. She said, "I've taken on these giants. You're going to take on more giants after me." And I think by the time the morning came, she was dead. And he realized he had to get up and keep going. And he had to fight the next giant that came along. And it was that crucial point that God reminded me that when this guy died years ago in my life, he'd fought the giants himself. He'd fought the fight of faith. He'd done it. And in this book, this dreamer that died said to Ordinary, look, you know, I'm not defeated. I haven't been defeated. I am victorious. I've got the victory. I've won. She knew when she closes her eyes, that's it. She's got the victory. That's it. She did what she had to do. And it's like our friend years ago did what he had to do. And I remember God saying to me, in fact, it's funny, because again, Moses and Joshua, the record came to my mind. And I was speaking to this man's wife, his widow, and she wasn't sure where she was going anymore. And God just inspired me. I opened up my Bible and I shared with her the record of Joshua when Moses died. And God said, look, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, take courage, be strong and of a good courage, and take these people into the promised land. Same, it's crazy that this book kind of echoes that too. And I remember at the time I had to keep going. Our friend was gone, and I had to encourage as many people as I could back then. But I had to keep myself strong as well, and I had to keep moving somehow. And God showed me something, the area I live in now. It came to my heart that I was to carry on where this guy left off. I thought, well, how can I? I mean, he played music, he sang in public and all sorts of things. I don't do that. But then I realised now, you don't have to necessarily do the same things to be able to have an impact in a place. And that's where you ask God for the guidance. It's not that you think you've got to do it this way, that way, the other way. You ask God, which way do I do this? How do I do this? And since I've been living in that area, God's just opened up so many doors over the years. It's been incredible. With different people in different places, from different backgrounds, seen a lot of miracles happen. And it's funny because I can look back now and see where I have taken on giants. I can see where I've taken on these so-called big spirits. Where they may be big, but hang on, they haven't got God on their side. They haven't got the dream giver, Ordinary would say, right? In the book. And it's such a fantastic story. It really, really, truly depicts, I think, certainly every single believer, every single child of God, wherever you think you are right now, ask God what your dream is. Ask him to reveal to you what your dream is. I asked him, what is my dream? And he brought it all back to me. I mean, I was walking through this area one time, and this was many, many years ago, and something came to my heart about having the keys to the area. And I thought, no, I can't have that. I'm nobody. So it was Ordinary. I realise it now. God doesn't take the somebodies and turn them into somebody, because they already are. He takes the nobodies or the anybodies. There's a camp of anybodies. They couldn't get into their city because this giant of darkness. And Ordinary went up, challenged, bang, 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 just like David and Goliath, took him to the ground. And when he got into the city, he realised that's where his dream was. That was his dream. The city was in darkness, but he transformed it. And it's like wherever you go, wherever I go, we can transform the place we're in. And all we've got to do is look to God. All we've got to do is ask God. Ask him to show us. Ask him to guide. Jesus Christ will show us and guide us even. I can't wait to get into the next part of this book. There's probably a lot of other things. There was so much went through my mind reading this. There's probably a lot of other things I haven't even said yet. But if what this is, it's literally done to me. It's just been... This is a godsend of a book. Definitely. Without a doubt. And So I hope this can encourage and inspire everyone to listen. You can get up and take on your giants in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. And so that's the book called The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson. And you can get it on Amazon for about £2, which is about $4. The book was recommended to me, not just to me personally, but to a whole audience of people, by a man called Reverend John Schroyer of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry. And he was a wonderful man. And I don't think a lot of people understood what he was on about. And they kind of questioned it a bit. But I got the book, and I read it years ago, and it helped me. And I give the book away. And now I lent it out and never seen it again. So someone got really blessed by it, and that's fine. So I got another copy now, and I'm going through it, and it's just as exciting now as when I first read it. So I encourage you to get it. So that's The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson. It's the same author who wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jason.